Hi, welcome to the interviews with the Haunting Masters, brought to you by Sneak Tech Sneak Boot. Today we're going to talk about Haunting Javelina. I keep getting questions about it, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna throw together a Javelina special episode here, especially since the Arizona draw is going on right now. It closes in like 5 days, so I don't know if this is going to air before that or not, but it will certainly air before the leftover tags come out. So it'd be a good source of information. So I started beating my head up. I'm like, who am I going to have on? And I'm like, duh. But if Shane Egger is one of the guys that works for me, one of my personal hunting buddies, and the guy probably I hunt the most with in the last recent years anyway. We call him the Javelina Magnet because this guy finds Javelina everywhere. And he always finds it before you do. It's quite frustrating. So I figured we have him on, talk a little bit about Javelina hunting, and go from there. What's up, Shane?
Not much. How's it going?
Yeah, can't complain, man. Just getting ready to leave for New York. I'm going to go shoot a whitetail, hopefully, with my recurve this year. And see what happens, and then I got to do a wedding and come back, and it's off to South Dakota for muleys, and then I'll be back, and we got that elk client in Unit 7 East that you're going to help me out with. Yeah, I'm just rolling along. So real quick, for those who don't know who you are, just give a quick rundown about yourself.
So I'm Shane Edgar. I work for John, buddies with John. Guide. Been hunting for a while. Recently, last 5 years or so, got real serious into it. It's an addiction that can't break.
Yeah. And before that, you were on the amateur fishing tour, semi-pro. You got a couple of sponsors. You got a scholarship too, didn't you? At one point.
Yeah, I fished a lot, and when I was younger, juniors and high school, I was able to win a couple national championships and that kind of fun stuff. So, actually, I still fish too much, just like I hunt too much. I leave on Tuesday for Las Vegas for biggest fishing tournament in the West. So
nice.
Hopefully we can do good at that.
Oh yeah. Awesome. Well, so I people just like keep, I actually got two questions today, which is what sparked me even to like go ahead and do this, was where can I find out about hunting Javelina? And there's just no resources out there. Because I think people don't, you know, it's kind of like a secondary animal. Most people who hunt Javelina archery are doing it. They buy a tag or whatever. They get a tag because they're going to be deer hunting. And they're going to, you know, most people kill them like because they happen upon them type deal. But there's a lot of hunting to be had, especially here at AZ. We have over-the-counter tag and we have draw tags, obviously. Let's talk about the over-the-counter tag a little bit. Go ahead.
Personally, with my experiences, the over-the-counter tags, those are going to be your metro tags,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be the areas that are around, you know, Phoenix, Scottsdale, all that kind of stuff, 26M, 25M, and then there's also some down closer to Tucson. That is actually, from my experiences, a very difficult hunt.
Yep.
They disappear, they become nocturnal, and they're just, honestly, I think a lot of the ones that are in 25M and 26M, which is up, you know, up where we live, I think they live in the neighborhoods. I think they come in, and especially
eat
right
garbage
now,
at night.
Yeah, Halloween's coming around, the pumpkins are going to start coming out and getting eaten up, you know, and for me, the metro, the over-the-counter tags are probably one of the hardest javelina tags to fill. That I don't know about your feeling on that, but that's my feeling on the over-the-counter javelina tags.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I used to have a couple of spots that were really good. And I think one thing about javelina is usually if there's a herd there,
They
they're
stay
usually
there.
there year after year after year after year. You'll find them in the same areas. But once they move out of there, if you don't find them where they're, pick them back up somewhere else, and it's really, the hardest thing about a javelina hunter is initially finding them, I think.
Exactly. And then with how, towns growing out further and further, they start building right on top of them, and javelina aren't like deer where they'll just keep pushing out. They'll get built on top of and just live there.
Stay.
They realize they got water, food, everything they need. They'll stay in the neighborhoods. Nobody's gonna mess with them there.
Yeah, exactly. So the draw tags, we have a couple different seasons, three different seasons, right? Oh, well, I guess really there's more than that, but for javelina season, the spring season, is there's three different tags, right? There's
Yeah, archery, ham, which is handgun, archery, muzzleloader, and then the general, any weapon.
right, and
Also,
then
there's a youth hunt in
a
there.
youth hunt. I was to say there's a youth hunt, and apart from that, there's a fall javelina tag, right?
Correct, yeah.
That's a rifle hunt, which I've never
Yeah, I
put in
believe
for. I never
so,
even thought about putting in for that.
there's very, I think there's only like two units that do it, and
Okay.
they're super units. And also, I know there is a junior fall hunt that does cover a couple more units that are better, but for adults, I don't believe that there is any
Yeah,
real
I've never even
home
taken part
run.
in that hunt at all. Matter of fact, I had somebody ask me about that because their kid drew it, and I was like, I have no clue. I mean, I know that unit okay, but I don't know that I would be able to find javelina in October or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So anyway, so let's talk about finding them. I mean, they occupy a very wide range of terrain here in Arizona, because you could find them all the way up to Flagstaff and all the way south to the border of Mexico. Well, of course, they come up from Mexico. Hey guys, just a real quick break. Pardon the interruption. I want to talk to you about becoming a patron of the show. It's super easy. You just go to the interviews with the Hunting Masters on my Podbean account, and at the top right-hand corner, you'll see a green button that says "Become a Patron." Or if you're using the Podbean app, it's right there. Just click on the button, "Become a Patron," from any of the episodes. I really go out of my way not to bombard you with a bunch of ads and clutter up the episodes. I really like to keep it as educational and as valuable as possible. I'd like to add to that value by adding some bonus episodes that are going to be just for the patrons only. I'm going to release a few that are strictly for those of you who have contributed to the podcast. It really goes a long way, and I want to say it again, that even a dollar a month, pledging a dollar a month, $12 a year, may not seem like a whole lot, but it means the world to me. It helps me take care of the cost of producing this show, and I really appreciate it, and I'd appreciate you guys. Thanks for listening, and let's get back to this episode. What are you looking for? Well, let's talk about those terrain ranges first. I don't know. I haven't hunted much up, not for javelina, but I know where I've seen them in like 6A and stuff like that. But
Yeah,
what?
I shed hunted a lot 6A this year, Stoneman Lake Road area, and every time I was in there, I saw javelina, which is kind of strange to see those things running around the pine trees, but not really. But that just goes to show you how they adapt, and they're in such a widespread area, anywhere from the forest to creosote flats to insane, nasty desert.
Right. I see you see a lot of them by Sedona. There's a crap ton of javelina by Sedona.
Yeah.
And that's that, like, those, like, JPs, like, juniper pinyon,
Yep.
cedar type country. Just seeing them on the Red Hills over there and stuff. It's pretty crazy. So they are very highly adaptable. They are spreading. Because I remember a time when I first started hunting here in the early 90s. I don't think there was any javelina hunts up by Flag or, I mean, I don't think they were much past unit 21, 19. Like, they weren't in the single digit units like they are now. Like
Yeah.
your 6As and 6B and 7 East and whatnot. But I think there's even a hunt now in 11M, or that might be part of that over the counter metro.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
So, what are you looking for when you're trying to pick an area to hunt? What's your starting point? What do you?
So, pretty much for me, if I show up to a unit, say a unit or just a spot that I've never been to. I get there the day before the hunt starts. I'm just gonna drive around. I try to find boulders, big rocks, that kind of stuff with a lot of prickly pear around. And I also find hills that are just mainly prickly pear that are gonna be let's see, that'd be the east facing.
Okay.
So right as the sun's coming up, it's gonna get first light. So the way javelina work is they're pretty much either bedding in washes, the bottom of the washes, and they just literally stack on top of each other and they sleep trying to keep each other warm. Or they have dens, in the caves and the boulders,
Right.
whatever, mine shafts. They find all kinds of places that they'll go.
Mine shafts.
Yeah, we got a fun story. We got a fun story about that.
We'll
Stay
talk about
tuned.
that later.
But and then right as the sun it starts getting light out, those pigs are going to slide up to, in my experiences, pretty much prickly pear eastern facing slopes that get first sun. They don't really have hair per se like a deer does. Their hair is more like porcupine quills, so I don't think it really keeps them that warm. So that's kind of my theory on
They're
why this
primarily a
unit.
tropical animal. They come from like the
Yep.
tropical belt of Mexico, like way down south, South America, so
So
they weren't really built for cold weather.
your javelina hunts are going to be January, February, and I think they run into March a little bit, middle of March. So it's still, Arizona, it's still pretty cool. We can get into 30s, even lower, depending on when, what kind of weather we're having that year. So that's a big thing for me is the first morning eastern facing, the stuff that gets the sun first. Prickly pear is a big thing for me also. Down south, the Ocotillo and prickly pear, and also rocks, big boulders, and that I've found a lot of pigs in the big boulders.
Yeah, they seem to stay around boulders, and it also makes them harder to see because they look like
Yep.
little boulders themselves.
And you're also glassing for something that's, 2.5 foot tall by 3 foot long. They hide if you don't glass over them right at the right time, and they're behind something, you'll glass right over top of it.
Oh yeah. So, that being said, what are some tricks that you have for glassing them up? Like I said, you seem to find them before we do all the time. Like I find javelina, but if I'm with you usually found them before I did. So
I don't know. I got javelina like jump out to me. I don't know why. I can't sit down on a spot without glassing those stupid things up, it seems like. But I guess some of the tricks I do when I'm hunting for them is I'll sit down. I'll find where I think they're going to be on those hillsides that I was talking about a little bit ago, and I'll pan through it really quickly, just nonstop. Keep the binos rolling, and because a javelina in the sunlight will pretty much glow. Right. I mean, it'll stick out like a sore thumb, but one just barely behind something won't. So I'll pan through a lot of the stuff, just find those nonstop. I'll grid it up and down, side to side, whatever, however you like gridding, but just nonstop, keep it moving quick. And then I'll glass all of the stuff that I can see, and then I'll turn around and start from right where I was, and then I'll pan through it real slow and pick apart every little detail that I can.
Right.
I can't tell you how many times you're glassing, and all of a sudden you see a prickly pear pad kick or move funny, and you're like, what the heck? And you sit there and stare at it, and there's a pig standing in the middle of this prickly pear just eating it.
Right.
It's pretty goofy. But like I said before, you're looking for something that's, you know, 2.5 foot tall. It can be standing behind something and you not even see it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I do it. I move quick and then I'll go back and then move. I mean, they're at the same spot for 10, 15 seconds and then just barely adjust and stare at the same spot again and just wait for it.
Right. So, you know, you talked a little bit about finding prickly pear and boulders and stuff like that. Describe to me, if you walk into an area and you see this and you see that and you smell this or you see that or hear this or whatever it is, when you see those things, you know there's going to be javelina right there. Like, it's not like you think there's going to be javelina, you absolutely know there's going to be javelina.
So one thing is their smell.
Yeah, of course.
They smell pretty rank.
Yeah, so, they don't call them stink pigs for nothing.
Yeah, you'll be... if you're walking up a wash or something and you got the wind right, you'll be walking and you'll get a hint of almost like skunk. Kind of smells like skunk, but just a little bit different. You could have either walked by a den, a place they were bedded, or a place where the herd's actually at and you're just downwind of them.
Mm-hmm.
So smell is probably the big giveaway.
Yeah.
If you've ever sat there and watched a herd of javelina, they're kind of feisty and they like to mess with each other.
Mm-hmm.
We killed one, I think 2 years ago. We're sitting down glassing, on this hill, and like 100 yards below us, we start hearing this squeal and we're like, what the heck is that?
Yep.
Well, I thought it was somebody just messing with a coyote call, but it was actually a red, which is
right.
The babies. Was getting messed with and was squealing. We slid down and we shot two out of the herd.
Right.
I was like, wow. So sound, the distress sound, literally it sounds like a piglet squealing.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that a lot. You can also hear, back to them being feisty. The big ones will actually, if they're laying down or even feeding, they'll chomp where they slam their teeth together. It's the nastiest sound ever. And they'll woof, chomp, and then kind of growl at each other. I've heard that a lot before, too. You'll just be walking, and you hear that, and you know that, you know, there's a herd right there. There's two pigs. There's a pig. There's something right there. And honestly, they give themselves up more often by just doing stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Making sounds, squealing. I've seen them
clicking on rocks a bunch.
Yeah. Yeah. Rolling rocks off because they want to eat whatever's underneath the rock.
Right. Yeah.
Can't tell you how many times you're sitting there on a hill and all of a sudden you hear a rock roll and you look down, a pig's just trying to knock the rock over to eat whatever was under it.
Yep.
Another sign thing that we look for is the prickly pear being eaten up.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit different. Between a cow and a javelina, I know I've hunted with a lot of people and they're like, oh man, look at that cactus eaten up by javelina, but it's not.
Yeah, it's cattle.
So a cow has teeth like we do. So when they take a bite out of the cactus, it will just be a clean horseshoe out of it. And where pigs have, you know, the tusks and wacky teeth, it'll be stringy like spaghetti because they bite down on it and then they pull off.
They shred it.
Yeah, it's all shredded. So you'll see all of the almost like spaghetti hanging off of it. That's my way to tell the difference between
the inner fibers of the paddles. are like exposed.
We'll still be stringy and hanging off. Another sign is rooting.
Rooting,
Javelina like to eat roots. They'll dig out. You'll see where their hoofs are. Their hoofs are only about probably what, an inch or two across. So they're real narrow diggings under trees and under bushes and next to bushes and cactus as well. Barrel cactus. Pigs love barrel cactus. They'll actually eat the roots out of them and knock them over and then eat from the bottom to the top. Just completely eat them out.
Yeah, they hollow them out. Like, it's
Hollow them
pretty
out.
crazy.
Yep.
Crazy how they get around those big freaking barbs on those barrel
Yep.
cactus.
So
Unreal.
those are some of the signs that I really look for is, the downed barrel cactus with the roots eaten out of them, the shredded prickly pear and the rooting are some signs that I know that there's pigs in the area.
And because they're a herd-oriented animal, you guys will, if you pay attention, you're gonna see a lot of. They're gonna look like deer tracks to an extent,
And they're tiny, but
but
they're
they're
tiny.
smaller, much smaller. Yeah, and you're gonna see a lot of them together.
Yep.
Javelina leave a lot of sign. They're messy eaters. They're
Yep.
somewhat destructive, so they leave a lot of obvious sign. It's funny that you said those first two things. You said the smell and then the sound. I actually killed my first two javelina by both of those. I had spotted up this group, and this is before like I was glassing on tripod and everything. I was hand holding. This is back in, I don't know, 92 or something like that. I glass up by accident because I was looking for deer. And I see this javelina. I had a javelina tag in my pocket, and I was deer hunting in January. And this is behind the Green Gate on Javelina Hill.
The Green Gate.
So basically, I spot this javelina up, and I get down there, but I don't. I kind of lost my way. I was by myself. I didn't have a spotter or nothing. And I caught a whiff of javelina smell, and I used my nose to get close. And then once I got close and I started seeing them, whatever, I just kind of put myself in the middle of them, and I broke the herd up. And they were like going in every direction, and I ended up shooting one. And I was like, that was my very first javelina. It was my first experience with it. And then the very next year, I was glassing for one, and same thing. I heard a red below me, just like what the. I looked down, and here was a bunch of javelina, like literally down in the wash that was below the. I'm sitting here.
It almost sounds like somebody's messing with you, like they saw you, and then they grab a coyote distress,
It's pretty funky.
just a distress call and just start screaming on it, because it sounds like so terrible, it sounds fake. I was serious. I turned to the person I was with. I was like, that sounds like somebody's messing with us with a call, but I was like, I want to go check it out, but I also don't want to be an idiot walking around to somebody that's just messing with me. I don't want to look like some tool stalking around on the side of this hill. And sure enough, man, I come around and I was like, oh, there's one right there, right?
There you go.
What it was. So that was a solid lesson.
So let's talk about this a little bit because I always hear this, like, when people aren't seeing stuff, it's just human behavior. I do it myself. You want to blame it on something. It's the weather, it's the moon, it's the heat, it's the whatever. So what do javelina do? Do you see them affected by the full moon at all? Like less
Moon phase.
activity, or are they up more in the middle of the day, or is it like, are they affected by them at all?
I haven't really seen anything that would tell me that, hey, full moon makes it tougher. Moon phase wise, no, I haven't. It's in my opinion, they don't really get affected by that.
The only time I've ever seen it, and it's always in conjunction with if it's hot. If it's hot and it's a full moon, then I see less of them. But I think
Yeah.
when it's hot, you see less of them anyway. But I feel
Yeah,
like it's even less.
exactly.
I feel like it's even less because like there's even more reason for them to be up at nighttime because it's, they could see
Yep.
better or whatever. That's one of the things I think javelina don't really rely on their sight, so it doesn't really matter.
Yep.
So I'd say full moon's not a big deal, but my next thing was hot. And so hot, I think they put some to bed real quick.
See, and I had you asked me this before this year, I would have said yes, I agree with you. I always, you hunt till 9, 10 o'clock. All right, it's hot. Let's get out of here. This year, I did not see pigs, and because I hunted two separate units because I had two different tags, and each time I did not see a pig until 9 o'clock.
Really?
After 9 o'clock, and the sun was up, and it was hot as balls. I
Okay.
did not see a pig. It was maybe it was the moon phase. Who knows what else brought into it? But both pigs I shot this year, one of them was it. We did find that herd a little bit earlier. I think I shot one at about 9 o'clock, and the other one I think I shot at 10:30, 11 o'clock. Just strangest thing. Pigs up feeding. We're glassing pigs 10, 11 o'clock. It's 85, 90 degrees out.
Oh, was that hot already? Yeah, we did have pretty hot. Freaking, we didn't
Yeah,
have much of a
we had a real
ways.
hot. Yeah. And it that was kind of strange for me because I'm normally a hey, it's warm, let's call it quits, let's go get some breakfast. But this year it was like starting out, you're like, how am I not seeing javelina this morning? And then 9 o'clock comes around and you're like, oh, there's some. That was kind of strange for me. Like I said, had you asked me this before this past season, I would have said yes, heat does affect them. But this year, man, that's the only time that we saw them. It's kind of strange.
Well, when we were down south and we had clients this year, I want to say both my clients, we shot, probably around 11. And
Yep.
then you had with the other two guys, so the absolute worst unit in the world.
Yeah.
Worst unit in the world.
And
Terrible
we killed.
wind, terrible winds,
Yep.
and we didn't have a permit, so we couldn't go on Forest Service, so we were stuck to just the state land.
Yep. But
And
we
you
killed
managed
at
to find.
11.
That was the first
11,
one was
12
11, then the
o'clock.
second one, because we waited for the dad to come, we shot the other one out of the herd, right?
Yep.
Because that was what? That was like 2 o'clock, like
Yeah,
1:30. It was in the middle of the day.
it was a long day. But they were bedded down at that point. You wouldn't have glassed
We knew
when
where
it
they
was
were
wet.
at. That was a different story.
I'm glad they didn't leave.
Where were they gonna go anyway?
That's what I said.
I mean, I know. I was freaking out. I was freaking out because
That
I.
was one of the toughest javelina hunts I've ever been on. That unit was garbage. At
It was
least
the
where we
toughest, and
had
we
the
still got
hunts.
it. We still managed to get it done in a day.
We got it done, so.
My two people went super easy. I had a good unit though, but one that we know real well, so I couldn't complain at all. Let's talk about some of the different ways that you can hunt them, because. And then we'll get into how we like to hunt them.
I think we should slide back because we're talking about weather and that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah,
We're
weather. Yeah,
going
I'm
there.
sorry. We didn't talk about
We
wind and
didn't
all that stuff.
get to finish. We didn't get to finish on what we want to just stay in camp. So, and I know I've talked with John about this a lot, and we kind of have a disagreeal. But if it's cold and rainy, I don't even go out. And that's me. I cannot find pigs if it's cold and rainy. I think that they den up and they stay denned until the sun comes out. Now that next day, if you get a day that it rains from sun up till sundown, and the next morning is bluebird skies, sun is shining, you can find javelina on every hill that there is.
Right.
But I think in the rain, snow, sleet, hail, whatever, you might as well just hang out in camp.
Right. I don't think I've ever seen them in snow. I don't think it's ever snowed when I was hunting them, to be honest with you. But I've killed them in the rain, and I've killed them super cold.
Cold's one thing. I mean, I've hunted them down south when it was 15 degrees out, and you can still find them on the sunny side hill trying to get warm.
Yep.
But my experiences with rain, it's not good. And then
if it's light enough, let's put it this way. If it's too heavy for you to glass, then you're not going to find them anyway. But I've jumped them too. Like, I switch tactics, you know, I just walk bottoms or whatever, or not in the bottom, or just above the bottom, because you don't want to get caught in a flash flood. But, you know, I've had success doing that in years past, but I haven't really had to hunt them that way, or never really cared to hunt them that way. And usually when I'm hunting for myself, again, I'm deer hunting, and it's like I'm not specifically hunting. Only this last 2 years that I put in for the rifle hunt, so I would specifically go javelina hunting, is like probably the only two times since, I don't even know, late 90s probably.
Yeah.
That I've done it. It's always been a secondary thing for me.
I can't high
winds. I know wind really screws with them. I noticed. Yeah. But they're...
That kind of rolls into, like, how you were just saying, that hunt that we had that I guided down south.
Right. That's kind of why I brought it up.
In that tough unit. The wind, really, javelina's eyesight sucks. Like, it's garbage. Their hearing it's all right, but mediocre. But their nose is the only thing they really got going for them. I've been busted from javelina 300-400 yards away because the wind switched directions, or the wind just wasn't right.
Right.
So, therefore, if it's breezy, their really only line of defense that they've got is kind of thrown out the door because they can't use it very well. So, if I do get a windy day or windy morning, my tactic is to kind of go the cuts, the bottom of the cuts, the backside of hills where the wind's not going to be as bad. And on that hunt we had that I guided down south, there was like a bench that came out, like I guess you'd call it a big finger that came off this mountain that kind of S or kind of C, made a C and kind of a little bit of a bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And the wind was coming from the north, and the point pointed towards the east and then kind of turned southeast. So the wind was coming from the north, and just that south side of that point was pretty much out of the wind almost.
Yeah, it made a nice windbreak.
And that's where they were. They're just hiding. You just got to find a place. If it is breezy, you got to find a place where they can tuck up out of the wind and be able to use their biggest defense that they have.
Yeah, no, agreed. I think we covered all that stuff. You can hunt them on water if it's, you know, dry. If you've had a lot of, I mean, they're going to go to water, but.
That's too boring.
It's boring. Yeah.
I
don't like to do it for deer, so I don't really like to do it. But let's put it this way. If, let's say you're not a really good glasser, or you don't have the equipment to glass well, or let's say physically spot and stalk's not a really good option for you, sitting water's not a bad deal.
Oh, you know, absolutely.
If you find good sign, they're going to go to water. I mean, they're pretty good about going to water. And the cool thing about when they come to water is they make a lot of noise coming in, so you'll be nice and ready to stick worm
So
when it does.
they'll wake you up when you're sleeping because it's so boring sitting in water.
Sit
No, but normally,
in water for anything in Arizona is boring. You can go days without seeing shit.
with my experiences and the trail cameras I've ran, a lot of your water sources have anywhere from 2 to 5 herds of pigs around them, and pretty much a lot of the springs and tanks that we've run cameras on, pigs will hit at least a single pig, if not a herd, will hit every single day. So if you find a water source that they're using, you can kill a pig in one day of sitting.
It's definitely a good tactic. So let's talk about how you like to hunt them, how we like to hunt them, I should say.
So my favorite way to hunt them is spot and stalk. We've talked about it earlier. I'll sit up on a high point or even sometimes a low point glassing up, and just glass and glass and glass and glass. That's my favorite way to hunt anything. I like to see it before it sees me and be able to get in and kill it without it ever knowing I was there. It makes me feel like a ninja. So, but one thing I do want to experiment with this year is calling them in. That seems fun.
I've done that. I've done that quite a bit.
I know, I don't know if I ain't got the right call or what, but every time I start screaming on a call, they turn around and run faster the other way. So.
So it's the timing of the call. You just can't like use the call just to use the call. I've always used it when I've already busted them.
Oh yeah, that's when I use it, and they start scurrying away, and I start screaming on it, and they just scurry away faster.
Really? Yeah, you might not be doing it right.
Most likely. But I know Dave, that dude calls in pigs. He'll stock up 100 yards from him and then just call him in without even spooking him, and they'll come running right in.
There's a lot of guys that do that. That works real well. I've actually done that with my Fox Pro in intentionally,
Yeah.
unintentionally, excuse me. And I was like coyote calling and wailing on a jackrabbit or something. Freaking, here comes running in a bunch of javelina. I've had them
I had a
actually
Tuesday
bite.
almost run me over this year.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Pretty crazy.
Never know what you might call in.
I don't know. That's why I love calling.
I thought I called another lion, but kind of thankful it was a coos deer at that point. It got way too close.
it?
It was like 4 yards. It like stepped on my call.
No shit.
Yeah, and then just stood there and looked at me, trying to figure out what was going on.
Let's talk about some like behavioral things about javelina that might help somebody into we I mean we've talked about some of the things because we talked about wind and we talked about what are some of the things that javelina do that people should be mindful of that might help them harvest one. Does
So
that make sense?
if you're trying to do it with a bow, my biggest thing is when you glass them up, however many you count, go ahead and double that number because that's normally how many there is. So, more stalks for me have been blown because you get in close, you find the pig, you start sneaking in, you get within that 50-yard range. And then all of a sudden you look around and you're surrounded. You thought there was 5 pigs in that group and there ends up being 15 to 20. And then you end up getting blown. So one thing I've always realized when you're stalking them is we're like kind of deer. If they're in a herd, they'll kind of stay kind of in a tighter group. They won't get too far spread out. You can have a big hill. And the whole herd of pigs could be covering the whole entire
Whole hell,
desert.
yeah.
So, and then if one blows and starts chomping and woofing, they notify it, the whole herd gets spooked with them too. So that's one thing that they kind of do is there's always more than what you think there is. And they kind of, they spread out
They spread out, yeah.
real wide.
The other thing they do was the exact opposite of spreading out, which you need to watch out for, which I almost got caught doing this year, is they stack up right on top of each other, and it looks like two of them look like one of them. And you
Yep.
can easily shoot two pigs if you're not paying
Yep.
attention.
Yeah,
So.
they do this thing where they go face to butt, side by
Right.
side, and then they'll use their head and they'll rub each other's butts. It's kind of weird.
Yep. I almost shot two, and I was like, oh, wait, that's two of them, And I was close. I was real close. I was 6 yards away, And I didn't realize that until I, like, thank God he was rubbing, and I was able to put two and two together. And my rifle client, I set the binos, and I walked over to go help her. And some point, another one walked up to the one she was going to shoot, and we almost killed two because they were right on
Yeah,
top of each other.
but she spine shot the one, right?
Yeah, right,
Yeah,
exactly.
we got lucky on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't looking in the binos, so I didn't know what was happening. And yeah,
Well,
just.
you can watch the footage and you can't even tell that there's two pigs there until one drops and one runs away.
Yep, yeah, scary. Scary situation because it's like, whoa. That could have been a bad thing right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's one thing you definitely need to be mindful. They do they will spread out and feed all over the place, but they like contacting each other. They love being right next up to each other, especially if male and female.
They like to share the stank.
Yep, they rub it all over each other. Oh, you're part of the herd. Let me give you some of this. So, you mentioned woofing. Like that to me, like that is a tactic. Well, it's a tactic that they use to communicate to each other. But it's killed a lot of javelina
Yep.
because it's
So,
something that you can use. I know you actually used it, was not last year, but the year before.
my first recurve pick.
With your yeah, with the one you shot with the recurve. I remember you woofed at that one.
Yep.
So.
So one thing that they do is when they're spooked, they make a woofing sound. It's kind of like a dog trying to bark, but yeah, exactly right. Just like that. And, it's a real good tactic to get them to stop. If they do take off running, I think John's got the video posted.
Yeah.
But there's a video of me shooting one. We got in real close and he kind of spooked a little and he went to run and I woofed a couple times and he stopped at 10 yards and that gave me enough time to get an arrow in him. I've got friends that have woofed them and actually made them come in closer.
Yep. I have done it.
Even I've done it before. If you get into a middle of a herd and one kind of sees you or something, you can woof back at them. And I don't know if they just get comfortable with it or think that you're one of them or something, and they kind of chill out and go back to doing whatever they were doing before. But the woofing is definitely a great tactic to use in all kinds of scenarios.
Yeah. Well, there are some other little tricks or tips that have helped you kill javelina.
Trying to think. I think that's about it. I think we've covered a lot of
Yeah.
my tricks
I can't
that
think
I
of any
do.
off the top of my head either right now.
Yeah.
I know because of their eyesight, I've always had, and this comes with like when you're making the stalk, it comes with making being able to assess the situation. But when they're in like taller grass or the ground cover is a little bit taller, you could get away with a lot more movement. And when there's a lot of them and you're in the middle of the herd, you get a lot away with a lot more sound because they're making a bunch of noise. You know, click,
Yep,
kicking
they're
rocks,
close.
clicking, crunching, chomping. Hell, if they're eating, they're making so much noise because they're you know, just the, their chewing makes a lot of noise. So it's being mindful of the situation. Now, if you don't have any of that going on, it's a single pig, which doesn't happen very often, but you know, sometimes you'll get into it's a one or a group of one or two or three. Then you really need to, you know, consider it like you're stalking like a deer or something. You need to be quiet, you need to stay out of sight and all that stuff.
I mean, you always want to try to be as quiet
Oh yeah, of course.
as you
I'm just
can,
saying you could get
but
away with a lot more if the situation is just, you know, you can get it right.
another hint I could say also, we talk about them being blind as a bat, but they will still see you. They
Oh
can
yeah.
still see
They see
100 yards.
movement. They see
Yep.
movement very well, but they won't pick you out if you're just standing still in a bush.
Yep, correct.
Yeah.
When I first started, everybody's, oh, javeline are blind as a bat. You can pretty much walk right up to them, and I learned real quick that you can't walk right up to them. They're
No.
not that dumb.
No. Yeah, if at all, if you could come from behind them when they're not, you know, facing you in any way, you have a very, very good chance of getting super close.
Also straight on
Straight
because their
on.
eyes are at the side of their head.
I haven't had, not that I'm thinking that one that I shot when you shot yours with the recurve and I shot mine with the longbow when was at 2017. I think, yeah, that one was facing straight on me and he picked, you could see him in the video. He looks up and his hair sticks up and he like, and he's got me
Yeah.
pegged and he's looking straight at me. So I never heard that on straight on, but above, when you're above them, because of the way their necks are, they don't really turn their head up to look.
Yep.
So if you
But
got some
that's.
elevation on them, you've definitely got an advantage.
Yeah, so they do, I believe, have kind of a blind spot in the middle, right between, in line with their snout. But one thing that they do to see the best is they'll kind of come up. I've been like, once they see you, not charged, but they'll kind of take a couple steps at you, and then they turn broadside, which gives you the perfect time to shoot. They'll
Right.
turn broadside so they can get a perfect look out their side to see what you are. And I can't tell you how many pigs that I've kind of bumped, and they kind of trot at you to see what you are, and then they turn broadside and just can't give you that money shot.
Right. Right. Yeah. I
Another
never made a
thing,
mental note of that, but that's happened to me several times.
the kind of the science behind killing them that I just figured out within the last couple years is we all know that their vitals are very small. Their heart is about the size of a, I mean, it, what would you
That's
say, like
small.
a cutie orange, pretty
Yeah.
much. And their lungs aren't,
Not
maybe the size of a
giant.
grapefruit. And their vitals are actually directly behind their shoulder. They're
Yeah.
not,
More forward. Yeah.
yeah, they're more forward than what you think.
Most guys gut shot him.
Yep. I can't even say most guys. I think almost most of the pigs I killed up until the last like 2 years were I gut shot mine, because if you shoot them right behind the shoulder, you're right there, liver, guts, and you're gonna have to shoot them again. This year, I thought I messed up when I shot the one with the recurve, because I perfect shoulder shot him. I mean, arrow went in 5, 6 inches, and I was like, dang it, I shot him too far forward. The thing was piled up 30 yards down the hill.
Right.
I center punched his heart. So that's a little something. Maybe you won't have to go through the struggle of how many pigs I've gut shot and had to
Crack for a while.
track into caves and
Yeah.
rock piles. I had one a couple years ago. I had to shoot again out of a rock pile, and one I'm sure we're gonna get to the story here in a couple minutes about climbing into a mine shaft. I have to shoot another
This
one.
is a good segue. Let's go to that. was gonna ask you. I told you I was gonna ask you a story. I figured you were gonna tell that one. So
All right.
yeah, let's talk about our cave hunt.
All right. So we found these pigs, and I mean, it was a big herd. There's probably what, 25, 30 pigs in this
At
herd. It
least,
was
at
one
least.
of the biggest herds of pigs I've seen. And we were shooting a TV show with Willie, right?
Yeah,
Tony
Willie
Sh
Schmidt
Willie.
of Pure Hunting. Yep.
Pure Hunting. And so I have his camera. We flipped a coin to see who got to go first. I won the coin toss, so I got to go in. So I sneak in. I got the sneak techs on. Those things in the desert are absolutely
Money.
amazing.
Yep.
And I won't stalk without them anymore. And I slide into this pig, and turns out there was three of them. And goes back to,
Yep.
there's always more than what you think. And I was able to sneak up there in this little trough. I snuck up. I must have been no more than 5 yards, probably 4 or 5 yards away. Perfect over the shoulder shot with the camera. I draw back, and for those people who know me, I kind of have a tendency to not draw my recurve all the way back.
Well, yeah, his other nickname is Short
It's
Draw
short draw. Yeah.
McGraw.
So I already have a 26-inch draw length, and I have a tendency to draw it halfway back and let her fly anyway, which doesn't give you much penetration. But I mean, I still hit this pig absolutely perfect. I'm stoked. Got it on film. That was my first animal I'd ever shot with a recurve. Radioed John to come up because the pigs hadn't really spooked. That's when John slid in. He was able to shoot one. And I looked for mine, and we couldn't find it. And finally, we get above this cave mine shaft thing, and all you can smell, there goes the smell, is just javelina. It was
Right.
nasty. And we're like, dude, he's got to be around here somewhere. And then we find this trail that goes into this old mine shaft that reeked of javelina, had fresh javelina tracks, and we had actually lost blood right above this mine shaft. So we sit there and look at it and hem and haw, and we decide that this is it. We're going in to check her out.
Not one of the finest moments.
Yeah. So of course I get to be the test dummy since it is my pig, and I was the only one at the time dumb enough to go in. So I grab a flashlight, and it was a rifle hunt, so I did have luckily I was able to go in with some protection legally. And
Right.
I go in with a handgun, and it's probably 10 yards straight shot down. And then from the looks of it with the flashlight from the entrance, it just kind of bowled, made like a little 5 foot bowl, and then ended. So I was like, all right, I don't really see nothing, but I'm gonna keep going down. So as I'm getting down farther, I realize that this thing makes a T. It doesn't just end right there.
Right.
So I walk, about is 10 yard shot in, about 5 yards in, I can stand up. I'm not very tall. I'm 5'7", so I'm not saying that it was tall or nothing, but I could stand up in it. So I'm walking all slow. I got a flashlight and a handgun because it's pitch black down there. And I hit it, and I'm like, all right, this thing tees. So I go to shine the flashlight to the right, and it goes about 15 yards to the right and ends. And as I'm panning the flashlight back down, there's about a 4, 4.5 foot blacktail rattlesnake coiled up about about 4 or 5 foot from me. So I was like, wow, this situation just got a lot cooler. And then I shine the flashlight to the left, and it goes about 20 yards back, and I got like four sets of eyes glowing back at me.
I think it was longer than 20 yards. I think it was probably like 40 yards or so back to the
It was
back.
a ways back there, and all I can see is, three or four sets of eyes back there glowing. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna go ahead and get out of this place real quick.
Yep.
So I slide back out. get with everybody, get with John. I'm like, all right, here's the situation. You know, ran him down. There's a group of javelina to the left and a giant rattlesnake to the right. So we got all suited up and went back down, and we got GoPros on to get this footage in case we get killed or something. At least we got a cool video to prove it. And, we get back down there, and we see that the pig that I had shot earlier was actually in there. You could see I made a good shot, but just didn't get the penetration I needed.
Right, you can see the blood on it way back with the flash. So when I had the big flashlight over your head, and I mean, he there's flies everywhere. Down. It stinks to all fucking hell in this thing, and there's a rattlesnake behind us. So we don't really have a lot of retreat room if they come charging.
Yeah, if they come at us, we can't really back up because there's a rattlesnake behind us. And so this thing, we get down there, and he comes charging at us and stops. Well, I'm shaking like, I mean, this thing is freaking me out. I draw back and send one about 2 foot over his back, and the arrow goes ricocheting around the cave or the shaft, and every pig in that thing, I think there was a big one and
four little ones.
Not little, but
not juvenile. Little, not reds, but juvenile.
Still,
yeah,
still big enough to mess you up. And that first pig comes, and I duck up against the side. We can't back up because of the snake.
And, it hit me in the leg.
Yeah. And then my pig brushes up against John, and then the other four run out, and then we turn around and shot the snake just to make – just we're like – that was probably my most fun javelina trip.
Yeah. No, and not to mention it knocked over Willie on the way out of the cave.
Yeah. And then Willie's sitting at the entrance of the cave filming, shooting into the cave of us. Like, hey, what's going on down there? This and that. And there's some pretty cool footage of that pig pretty much running Willie over on the way out.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, maybe one of these days I'll put that up. It's a little. I feel like it'll be too many haters, but not in that. I don't want to deal with like freaking. I just don't want to deal with it.
That's a fun video to show your buddies, and that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was an interesting.
And we actually went back. I climbed into that cave again this year because you had that tag.
Right.
And the rattlesnake's head that I had cut off was still in there, all like dried out. It was pretty cool. I was going to keep it, but I didn't.
Yeah, and we went back there this year. Where did we find the freaking pigs? Like 2,500 feet above us and like 2 miles, 3 miles back.
Yeah. I don't even know how I glassed those pigs.
Dude, seriously. It was a rainy. It was a rainy day. Remember, it was drizzling and it was windy.
Yeah, it was,
and you're like, we're not going to see shit. I'm like, just come on. We're going to find something. Sure as shit. He's like, I got something, but you don't want to know where it's at. I was ready to go. You're like, fuck.
You're ready to go. I was like, dude, that is not.
He's like, you're going to go hike freaking 2 hours over there to go shoot some pigs. I'm like, yeah, I am. But I was like,
good luck. And what did I say? Good luck. I'm taking a nap.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, well, if he ain't going to freaking keep eyes on him, I ain't going to go over there. But and then what we do after that, I said, all right, well, let's go kill a coyote. Yep. I pulled us into this like, oh my god, that coyote came to 3 yards. You shot its foot off because you're like, oh shit, it's a coyote.
I had 4 shells out of my gun before I realized I shot once, and as he was trying to crawl away because I rolled him, I pulled up to shoot again, and my gun clicked. I'm like, what the heck? And I was like, damn, I shot.
That's how I shot him with a bow.
He ran by me.
You were using the shotgun. I was using the bow.
Yeah.
And he came flying over my shoulder. I could hear him running. I was like, oh, shit, he's fucking coming. I was already at full draw. And, like, just was about to squeeze off the shot. And I'm all, and that's when you noticed that he was right in front of you. Like, boom, boom. I'm like, holy shit. Freaking. But, no, that was cool. He was a cool-looking dog, man. That was, like, that really rusty. Something about those coyotes in that area. They're, like, rusty. Like a rusty, red almost. It's kind of a cool.
We seen one today that looked like that. Jake missed.
Jake's notorious for missing those.
No, I'm notorious for missing
You miss them too, both of you guys. Every time you guys just we see one just to see one when we're not calling them, you guys miss them.
If I'm calling, it's dead. But if
It's
it's on the
different. That's what
side
I'm
of the
saying.
road,
When we just
if
see them,
it's
like
on the
when we're
side of
driving,
the
you're
road,
like, oh, fuck, there's a coyote up there. And I'm like, every time that's been that situation,
I'll miss. I'll miss
you
every
guys
time.
have both missed. Jake missed three times.
Every time.
Road dog.
Yep, road dogs. I did kill one during deer season, a road dog, so I'm getting better.
There you go. Well, cool, man. Thanks for coming on. Not that you had a choice, anything or anything, but that's joking. Yeah. Well, I'm sure I'll see you here soon.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll let you know when this one airs, because I'm sure you'll, even though you never listen to my podcast, you'll listen to yourself talk.
Most likely.
All right, bro. We'll talk to you later.
All right, we'll see ya.
Bye. Hey guys, want to stay connected with the podcast? Check out my blog, johnstallone.me. That's www.johnstallone.me. And you could go on there. On the top right-hand corner, there's a little subscribe box. Quickly put in an email address, hit subscribe, and boom, you're done. There's a lot of great information on there, a lot of posts that go hand in hand with the podcast that we do, plus gear reviews. Plus, we have the signature t-shirts on there, the I Eat Fast Food t-shirts, and the Tuesday Coosday shirts. It's a really good way to stay connected with the podcast. And thanks for listening.